All right, praise the Lord. What a wonderful time of praise and worship, huh? Great. You know, I like to name things. It's been something I've done ever since I was a young man. And a friend of mine was going to open up a mechanic location where all he did was work on brakes. And that was his specialty. So I said, well, you call it the stop shop. And then many years ago, I was going to open up a health club back when I was back in really good shape, and I used to train people in my basement. And you know, my first name is James, which is short for Jim. My last name is Maze. I used to call it the Gymnasium. Now, Karen and I have this agreement that I love the restaurant business, but the employee challenges and the time challenges are just too much. So when I have enough money set aside extra that I can hire the right management, I can go back in the restaurant business. Because for me, running a restaurant is like throwing a party and getting paid for it every day. Okay? And I thought, well, what kind of restaurant would I run today? Because I'm Italian, you know, and go to the Italian food. But, you know, it's been so overdone and what's the word I want to use? People don't really know what good Italian food is because there's so much not good Italian food out there. So, okay. But, you know, my wife is Jamaican, and my favorite Jamaican restaurant just closed down. And I thought, okay, there's not many Jamaican restaurants out there, and the food is really great when it's done right. So maybe I can do an Italian-Jamaican fusion restaurant, you know, and let me think about this. You know, I've been working on some gluten-free pasta, so we can put some jerk chicken with an almond pasta and make it really good and do different things like that. And the eyes just flow through me. I love this. It's fun, the planning part, you know. But what do you name an Italian-Jamaican fusion restaurant? And I worked on this and worked on this, and it finally came to me. You call it Rasta Pasta. I want to take a moment and thank the people that helped set all this up. You know, it's one thing for the speaker to walk up here and just start talking, but you gotta realize there's a lot of background people, such as Michael and Gwen over here and you know, Pastor over here and Aunt Sarah. But last night, I had to work on the outline late, and I got it to Pastor Matthew late, and he still got everybody's outlines out, got it downloaded, and I noticed by the emails he was doing it till midnight last night. So I want to spend a special thank you to Pastor Matthew for going above and beyond the call, because I worked so much during the week, I couldn't do it until yesterday. Thank you. Okay? All right. So this is a series I'm going to do, Defeating the God of Mammon. Now, God is small g on purpose. Okay? And this is a series designed for more advanced Christians. And I'm going to assume for this series that you already know about tithing and offerings. And if you don't, call the ABC Church. They'll get you some teaching on it. But we're going to assume that that's already done. Okay? And the first question you got to ask for is, why are you here? Why did God put you here? And I don't think most Christians even know. I think Christians are so busy today, they don't even take time to think about it. And I think you need to spend some time saying, God, what is my destiny here? And when you think about that, I don't want you to think about little things. I don't want you to think about big things. I want you to think about God-sized things, because God wants you to do God-sized things. We're getting into that a little bit more here, okay? But spend some time in the quiet of the Lord and find out what it is. Now, most people have got great ideas to do things. They just don't have the money to do what they want to do. Hence, the God of Mammon is pulling them back down. Okay? Mammon is an evil spirit. And you can worship God or you can worship Mammon. We're talking about a little bit more here. But Mammon is sly. He's sneaky. He's devious. And he's tricky. And he knows how to wind things around in such a way that it's a real challenge for Christians to see, okay? And one of the biggest problems people have is they have a debt challenge, especially here in the United States. It's very easy to get credit. Now, there's good debt and there's bad debt, okay? So what is good debt? So I'm going to go to section B1 here, and we're going to talk about Elijah, 2 Kings 6, 4 through 7. So he, Elijah, went with them, and they came to the Jordan to cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "I'll ask master for it was borrowed." Now, the servant came to do work for the Lord, and he borrowed a tool to do the work with because he didn't have the money to buy a tool. But he still wanted to be a servant. But he was in debt to the person he borrowed the tool from. That's not a bad debt. He went to the master, but it is borrowed. So he had fear because in those days, if you owed somebody money, they could put you in jail. Okay? So there was a fear in his voice. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. He cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. I like the version that says swim. Okay? There was a pick it up for yourself, and he reached out in his hand and took it. So here's a sign of war. You borrow something for God, under God's direction and authority, he will protect you from the enemy trying to cause you problems. Okay? All right, great. So B is a certain woman of the wives of sons of prophets. This is 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Cried to Elijah, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So there again. Credit challenges can put people in slavery. Okay? Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. He said, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. When you come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour into all the vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went out from him and shut the door behind her sons, who brought the vessels to her and poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there was not another vessel, so the oil ceased. And she cried out and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil, pay off your debt, you and your sons live on the rest. So here you have the first world's first oil tycoon is the woman blessed by God. Her only limitation was how many vessels she could borrow. So there are times when God does instruct people to borrow. There are times when you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, you've heard me mention my multi-millionaire uncle many times. The day came when he and his brother-in-law, who was his partner, decided to leave management and open up their own store. They'd been in business for years. They knew this system very well. And they sat down at the table and says, if we do this, we'll have to mortgage both houses to the hilt. And if we fail, we'll lose the homes. They had to make a decision. But they did it. 12 years later, they sold out. Each of them walked away with $8 million in their pockets. That was a good debt. That was a debt for the right reason. That was debt to make increase on something, okay? All right. Let's go to the next section, see where Deuteronomy 15:6. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised, and you shall lend to many nations. Now I want you to read that again. Lend to many nations. So if borrowing is a sin, lending would also be a sin. So it's not really a sin. It must be done properly. That's the key. With wisdom and intelligence. You know, I worked a year for household finance, which was a very challenging year because of what I had to do to collect from people. But the bottom line is, look for people with the intent and ability to repay the loan. There are people that have the ability but don't want to pay it. There are people who want to pay it but don't have the means. You have to have both the intent and the ability to repay the loan. Okay. When you're lending to somebody, make sure they have the intent and ability to repay it. If they don't, bless them and pray for them, because you're getting yourself into a snare if you start lending money to people who don't have that talent, who don't have that ability, okay? But you shall not borrow. Now, if you got money to lend to nations, you don't have to borrow. By the way, how much money do you think you have to have if you're going to be lending to nations? I want that to sink in a little bit. How much money do you have to have if you're going to be lending to nations? This is a promise made to all the children of Israel. We're engrafted in that. Every one of us here and on the internet should have enough money to lend to nations. And that will help defeat the God of Mammon. Because when godly people have the money, and godly people do godly things with the money, things in this world will change. There will be a constant battle. Don't misunderstand me. Nobody said there wouldn't be. What we're doing now is we're preparing for the end times. And I'm waiting for the wealth transfer coming into everybody here, because this leading group is going to be a leadway, a headway for people to see a beacon on the hill and say, why are they doing so good? And everybody just start following these teachings here, because these teachings are going to lead people to the end times. That's what this is all about. I want you to contemplate that. The people should have the money to lend to nations. That's us. You shall not borrow, you shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. So when you got the money to lend to nations, nobody reigns over you. Okay? I've got Deuteronomy 28:12. He says it again. The good Lord will open his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. So he's saying twice, you shall lend to many nations. So I'm trying to get you to understand something here. We're not thinking big enough. We're told by the world to think small, think inside the box. And I'm telling you, God's saying, think outside the box. As I was doing my research for this, I ran across two things. Proverbs 28:19, where there's no vision, my people perish. And Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So you need vision and knowledge not to perish. As you prepare for the end times not to perish, we need a vision. That's what you have to do on your own. God, what is my vision? What is my destiny? I have to be able to see what I'm going for. Okay? This school, this training, these teachings they have here is to give you the knowledge to attain that vision. Amen? It takes both vision and knowledge. If you got all the knowledge in the world, but you don't know how to apply it, it doesn't do you any good. If you with great ideas, but don't have any knowledge how to do it, it doesn't do any good. It takes both. Okay? I believe when you get to heaven, everybody wants to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm also under the inclination that it's not enough just to be a lover of Jesus, but that if he's given you a project to do, you need to do it. To hear the words, well done, now good and faithful servant. I'm not saying people aren't going to get into heaven that don't do it. I'm not saying that at all. But if God's given you a destiny and a manifestation and something to manifest on this earth, he will help you do it. He'll show you how to do it. But you need to do your part. Okay? All right. So borrowing can be a good debt. The only thing you should borrow is if it saves you money or makes you money. Every time you borrow money, it needs to be a business decision. Now, if you need to get your oil changed, you don't have the cash, but you know if you don't change the oil, you'll blow up the engine. Use a credit card. I got no problem with that at all. Okay? That's wisdom. Okay? There was times when I floated my businesses on credit cards when things were tough. That's okay. I paid them back quickly. That wasn't a problem. That was a business decision. Okay? My uncle borrowed money for his houses to buy a business. That's fine. If something's on sale at half price and you know you can pay it off quickly and not let the interest eat up more than what you're saving, then that's a business decision. If you want to take a trip to Timbuktu because you don't have the money for it, and you don't dream of paying it back, that is not a business decision. That's bad debt. Okay? Good debt can be acquired by the use of a credit card. It means your credit card is being used as a tool to strengthen your credit rating and advance it to a better level. Achieving by making purchase of things you need, not just desire, pay off debt at the end of the month and avoid interest. Maybe your credit rating will grow strong. Staying out of debt is loving yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you want to stay out of debt as much as possible. Use wisdom. It's a business choice. Okay? Great. Now, so what is bad debt? Bad debt is misuse of credit cards. We talked about that. Doing things you don't need, you know. Buying clothes or jewelry you don't need. I know I was in the jewelry business for a short while. And this one lady had thousands of dollars racked up at this jewelry store because she loved jewelry and she couldn't afford to pay it. And I kept saying to the manager, why are you giving her more credit? She always makes the minimum payment. And I'm thinking this lady's going to be destitute in a few years, you know. Improper student loans. If you go into college or an education that's going to train you to make some money, that's not a problem. If someone's going to get an art history major that they don't have a job for lined up, that's a challenge. Now, if you got the money and you want to go to school and get an art history major, I got no problem with that. But if you're going to go borrow money that you can't pay back for someone that's not going to make money to pay back, that's misuse of your credit. They make it easy to get, but it's a form of enslavement. That's why some of these young people come out of college with $100,000+ of debt, and they got no way to pay it off. They didn't think what they were going to use. Well, I get out of college, I can pay it off. And now they're looking for somebody to help them bail them out because they made a bad decision. Okay. Somebody going to medical school, law school, that's a different story. You got a chance to make the money back. You're going to be an engineer? Not a problem. You know? If you're going to go get an art history degree and you got to line up with a museum that's going to pay you enough money, that's fine too. But again, it's a business decision. Now, in business, we have a term called a fully burdened cost. That's the cost of raw materials and everything else that goes into something. For example, this shirt has a cost of the cotton that was into it, and the thread, and the buttons, and the labor. In addition, it's got the shipping cost. It's got the marketing cost. It's got the insurance over the people who made it. And the list goes on and on and on. Every single piece of the cost of this shirt has to be priced into it, then they have to make a profit or they lose money. Biggest problems most people have in business is they don't understand their fully burdened cost. And I'm just getting a little dry, but I'm going to get to a point here, so bear with me for a second. What is the fully burdened cost of interest on a credit card? If you borrow and you have $100 in interest, how much money do you have to make to pay back the $100? $100, you think, right? No, because you get money after you paid your taxes. So if you're in a 15% level, you got to make $117.65 to break even at $100 to pay back that. Well, then there's Social Security that you got to pay. So now you actually got to make $129 to pay back $100 in interest. Do you see how the sneaky way of the devil is to get you entrapped in that? Pull you into that? Oh, it's just $20 a month. Yes, but the percentages add up over time. He's devious. He knows what he's doing. Okay? Now, John Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy, was a very successful businessman. He would buy businesses. His rules were any money he put into had to come out in 18 months, and the business had to be cash-free, free and clear, in 5 years, or he wouldn't touch it. He did very well. Okay? But he knew the return of money had to come back to him. He didn't want it hanging out there in limbo. And the problem with the buy now, pay later system is later is a long time away for a lot of people. Okay? You know, there's a saying around my house, my mother could stretch a dollar so far to bring tears to Washington's eyes. She grew up in the Depression. I mean, she knew how to make food stretch and things stretch, and just amazing how this woman handled her money. And we have to do that. When I talked to my rich uncle one time, he's having a really good year. He's looking for ways to save money. I said, why are you doing this? You're doing great. He says, but if I find a way to save money now, when the tough times come, I'll be in position for it. And he was a very wise man. He wasn't educated. You know, he barely got out of high school. Okay. But he used to laugh at the college graduates talking to him how to run his business. He said, if they're so smart, why are they working for me? But he had a good point there. He was always looking for ways, good times or bad, to improve his position. And one day, things went south in the business. Two of his competitors folded up. He survived. And, of course, all that business came to him after that. So he was absolutely 100% correct. Okay. I had a friend of mine. He opened up a bagel shop. And he picked the perfect location and He did so many things right. It was amazing. And I was talking to him, and he was making his first year on a $250,000 investment. He made $170,000 profit. That's astronomical. I says, are you going to pay down your debt? He says, no. He went and bought a new Mercedes, and he liked fancy trains, the big kind. You know, every car was like $250 and things like that, and he had all this expensive stuff. I says, you know, if you pay off your loan, you won't have problems if the business ever turns south on you. You know, hey, I'm always going to be doing good. I got the Midas touch, you know. It's okay, fine. And 2 years later, he was broke. It was sad. He could have bought it down and ran that tough time out, you know, but you got to prepare for those things. Okay. So my point is, use it properly. You know, having an addiction to overspending is like alcoholic challenge. Somebody comes to spendaholic. And that can be clothes. It can be jewelry. I know one guy, I've told this before, he's a golfaholic. He spends $20,000 a year golfing. In 10 years, that's $200,000. He's wondering how he's going to pay for his kids' college. Well, cut back on your golfing 30 or 25% or 75%, just 25% spending, and you'll have the money for your kids' college, you know. I have a gentleman that I was talking to, and he goes, I'm always $300 short at the end of the month. So he let me look at his things, and I says, well, why do you all this money going to Starbucks? So I go to Starbucks every day. It was $10 a day. I said, well, there's your $300. He goes, I got to go to Starbucks. I says, no, buy a coffee maker. He goes, oh, it'll take too much time. I says, I've seen the lines at Starbucks. You're not saving any time by making your own coffee. He goes, oh, I don't have the money. I said, that you put on a credit card. Buy the kind that's pre-timed, so that's made when he gets up in the morning. All he has to do is pull it out of the thing, put his cream and sugar in it, and go. But instead of spending $50 at a time, he spends $300 a month, and he can't fund his IRA because he's spending $3,600 a year at Starbucks. Yeah, I like numbers. Okay. Mismanaged a fund is not paying monthly bills on time, using money for frivolous entertainment instead. Going to the ladies' breakfast, that he used the money for paid DMV designation. Therefore, the DMV registration was late and had to pay on fine on top of regular expenses. Misappropriation of funds, like using money designated for something specific for an unintended purpose. Example, special offering given to a church guest speaker for missionary work. However, the money was intentionally not given to the speaker, but used to buy new chairs for the church. Not this church. That doesn't happen here. But that is a story I'm aware of. And then the church wonders why they were having so many problems later on. I mean, it's your minister's the gospel. You got to be accurate with what you're doing. You got to be on target of these things, okay? Now, the goal here, the object here, is to owe no man nothing except to love him. Whose love in others fulfilled the law. The NIV. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Even my uncle with his business wanted to pay off everything quickly when he borrowed the money. He didn't like that. These people who come out of the Depression, and you can talk to some of the people around here a little more mature than I am, they know what that was like when they didn't know if they were going to have food the next day. And they didn't want debt. They didn't like that at all. Okay? And we have to get that way. Society has made it so easy for people to get in so much trouble so quickly. I mean, I've talked to people in their 20s that got $30,000 of credit card debt. Like, what are you doing with that? And they had a great time. But now it's time to pay the piper. The time to pay the piper will come. Okay? But use wisdom with these tools. I'm not saying it's all bad. That's not my point. I'm saying godly wisdom covers all things. Okay? The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The English Standard Version says, the slave to the lender. And that is so true. That is so true. Now, I don't believe it's this church, but I believe in other churches, there are people that are so much in credit card debt that they don't tithe properly because they're more afraid of the credit card people than they are of God. And I don't think that's right. If they took the faith to tithe and give offerings properly, they would have the money to pay off their credit card debt. All right. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, else you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay. We do need money in this world. We must have it. It's how we operate. Now, the day will come where we can buy without money. It does say that in the Bible. But for right now, we need money. And we should be setting up everything we can do to prepare for the end times. But Satan wants to control everybody. And the biggest way he controls people right now in today's world is through the purse strings. He controls government officials that way. He controls people that way. He controls churches that way. There are churches that are afraid to speak what they want to speak because they may lose their tax deductibility. They may lose their challenges. They're being silenced. What's the most important thing the devil wants to do is silence the word of God. How's he doing it? He's using money to do it. You could lose your church if you don't do everything the way the state says. That's why this church is so respectful to not be a 501c3 and respectful to do things in its own accord properly that the government can't come in and tell us what to do. There was a case in Houston where the mayor, who's I believe is not there anymore, but she wanted all the sermons of all the pastors so she could analyze what they were preaching. She was homosexual. I believe she wanted to come against any sermons against homosexuality. Can't prove that. That's my theory. But the bottom line is she was using her power, her clout as mayor, to try to do something. Well, if somebody doesn't comply, then they go in and try to shut them down through other means. Okay. So it's more important for us to get a hold of our finances, to do things in the right, proper way, and to take care of things. Section H, if you are burdened with stress and yoked to bad debt, then you are serving the God of Mammon. And you see somebody challenged with debt, they are stressed. They're worried. They're probably not sleeping all through the night. You know, and that doesn't no good. You know, one thing I got to give, God's given me a blessing. Even in my business were serious challenges, I went to sleep and slept well. Because you know what? Either it happened or it didn't happen. I didn't worry about it, especially once I started tithing and giving offerings to God. Once I came to Karen, and you've heard the story, and she told me to start tithing, and I prayed over it. I just gave it all to God and didn't worry about it. I slept very well. But you can see people having those kind of challenges. You can read it in their faces a lot of times. Bad debt is self-hatred and an ungodly burden. And Proverbs 6:1-5 says, my son, if you put up security for your neighbor, giving your pledge for a stranger, if you're snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, and do this, my son, save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now that's talk about people who've given a cosigner. But if you take this and apply it to anybody who has credit yourself, think about it. You're still under the same challenge of entrapment. So, where it says give no sleep, no slumber, put in what you need to do to get out of that debt. Okay? You know, my father and mother paid off their house in 1988. They haven't had a mortgage payment since. I think that's a good thing. By the way, mortgage payment comes to the word morgue. It's a death note. So, I always use the word real estate note when I'm dealing with anybody in real estate transactions. Okay? And if you ever watch the old World War II movies, they say bought the farm. The guy who died bought the farm. That's because in those days, the way somebody bought the farm was when they died, the insurance policy paid off the farm. That's where that comes from. My point being that you don't have to have a death payment. We can break that in the spirit. We can call in enough money that all these houses can be free and clear. And you can do whatever you want to. Amen? Okay. Let's talk about debt reduction strategies, okay? Now, when I'm talking to people about debt problems, I am list everything out, and I say, what is the smallest payment you've got? And it's usually there's a couple credit cards that are $15 and some at $35, and we go down the list and so forth, okay? But okay, take the first one that's the smallest one. I'm going to use $20, make the math simple, okay? How much extra can you pay on that card a month? Let's say $10. Great. You pay $10 a month till that card is gone. Then you take that $30 and apply that to the payment of the next card. And say that's $25. Okay, and you pay that until it's gone. You take that $55 and apply that to the third credit thing. And what you're doing is you're building up the momentum to pay off your bigger notes with bigger amounts of money. But there's also something spiritual when you get something paid off and you write a checklist off and it is finished. Something that feels good about that, and it's encouraging, and it makes you want to do more. And if you're that tight that you can't make anything extra, then you better be praying to God how to get more money coming in and increase your cash flow. Okay? All right. Number two, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. This is Matthew 6:25-34. What you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued to them than they? Which of you by worrying can add one more cubit to his stature? Okay? Worry does no good. Okay, we all made the mistakes. Just repent of it and get past it. Section 3. Come to me, all you who labor, who are heavily laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn from me, for I am gentle and loving in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So when you realize that, you know what we're under, not me personally, but when people realize that they are under a burden of labor, of mammon, that you go to God, and he will help you pull that off. You know, my good friend Dennis Tannerino, who's now in the Lord, had made some mistakes, and he was terribly, terribly challenged financially. All he did was serve the Lord. And I forget the exact amount now, but he looked at me and says, you know, to this day, I don't know how I got that paid off. But he did. He got everything paid off. And God will do this in ways that we don't expect. There's all kinds of things he can do. If we can think of one idea, he can think of a million. Okay? Now, I want to go back. The other day at graduate school, we talked about the El Shaddai contract. And for those of you who are new or weren't at the graduate school, I want to discuss this here. Okay. This is something that my wife and I do together every day. And over the last several years, my income has gone up 400%. Okay. And it continues to grow. And God blesses me more abundantly. So I'm going to read this, and we're okay on time. But I want to read this, and pray it with me, and then I'm going to bless everybody. But the concept of this, in a nutshell, is if you go to the second paragraph, you'll see a blank space there. And there's an amount there you need to fill in for yourself. And the way you do that is you got every bill, everything you pay for the month, and every expense you have. Your fully burdened expense of life, your heating bill, your electric bill, your food bill, what you eat on, if you have Arrowhead water coming, if you use hairspray, if you use makeup, men who shave, whatever, everything. Your fully burdened expense, okay? If you go to the second page, you're going to list it there besides one of the verses of prosperity that are next to it, okay? Then you get a total. Add to that total your tithe and any offerings the Holy Spirit tells you to make, you get a grand total. That grand total goes into that square in the second paragraph, that little space there. Okay? As you pray over this, you pray in faith. You're using the most powerful weapon in the world, in the universe, the Word of God, to take care of a mountain in your life. You're using this to break free of the God of Mammon. And you're using this so that you can be a blessing to the Lord in the final days. So let's do this together. Now, I want everybody to think of a number here, this little box, this little blank here, that's kind of appropriate for you. Whisper it. I don't need to hear it. Nobody needs to hear it, but you know kind of what you need. You'll fine tune that later in the week as you go through it. But for this potential right now, just stick that plug figure in there. Okay. All right. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come boldly unto the throne of grace that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We thank you that you've promised to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You made all grace abound towards us that we are self-sufficient in all things, not of ourselves, but self-sufficient in you, for we are your covenant people. So in the name of Jesus, we would like to withdraw and whisper whatever amount you want. from our heavenly bank account of this month and this year. We ask for this in the name of Jesus, based on our covenant contract, as specified in Deuteronomy 8:18, Deuteronomy 28:12, Mark 29-30, Mark 11:24, Matthew 18:19, Philippians 4:6-19, Luke 6:38, 2 Corinthians 8:9, and 2 Corinthians 9:8. We also ask for additional funds to covering items which we may be over and above the ones included. Stop right there. God knows if you need a car repair job done. God knows if the refrigerator is going to be challenged. God knows what's coming down. That's why that line is in there. So that way you're ready for the unexpected. So when the unexpected happens, you say, devil, I got this. Because he's trying to trip you up. Okay? All right. Okay, go on, please. Lord, we thank you that your word promises that you would bless us in our storehouse, savings accounts, in our basket, checking accounts, according to Deuteronomy 28:5, and that our barns, cord, cupboards, and storage areas will be filled with plenty. That's Proverbs 3:10. Proverbs 13:22 says that a good person should have a heritage to pass on to his or her grandchildren. So in obedience to your word, we are building up our net worth. We thank you that wealth and riches are in our home, according to Psalm 112:3. Therefore, we ask for these new funds as over and beyond that which you've already given to us as normal expenses. We thank you that your word is true. We receive these amounts now because we do believe that we receive when we ask. And we thank you that Jesus paid the price. We live today, every day and every year, in Jubilee. Thank you, Lord, for this money. Thank you, Lord, that we are debt free. I'm going to pray now. Before I do that, I'll make a quick comment. Whenever somebody buys a business, the first thing they look to do is, what kind of expenses can I cut? What can I restructure? What can I bring down so that I have more cash flow? Cash flow is the oxygen of business. It's more than the blood. You only have a couple minutes without oxygen. And if a business doesn't have cash flow, they're doomed. Our lives are going to be the same way. Now, you can borrow on cash flow with credit cards, but that comes back later on. So you got to get positive cash flow in your lives. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise, I worship, I glorify your holy name. I bless everybody listening to this message that they are freed from debt, that they are able to cast off, and that you show them how to jettison that off of their body, off of their lives, and that they can live debt-free for the rest of their lives, and that you will bless them abundantly financially. And I thank you, Lord, that everything they've done wrong in the past has been forgiven, and that you lead them and guide them so that they can be prosperous, that everything they put their hands to will prosper. And I don't care how young they are or how old they are, it does not matter, Lord, for you can do instant turnarounds. You did instant turnarounds for Laban. For Jacob, when he took all of Laban's flocks, legally, justifiably, but one day Jacob was rich and Laban, in this case, the God of Mammon, was poor. We call that into our kingdom. We call that through our churches. We call that through the people here, that they're in a position to lend to nations and to do the things that they need to do to do everything they are called to do, to fulfill their destiny for you, Lord. So that everybody here on the internet and that ever hears this message in the future will hear their words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen.